Common sense, the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, February 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, the Kansas City, Missouri Chiefs are Super Bowl champions, but they didn't make it easy. Kentucky comes back to Lexington after a road loss at Auburn. The SEC basketball race is pretty much already over anyway, so why bother? And we look to continue our scorching hot streak after giving you not one, not two, but three unranked college basketball teams that took down the mighty ranked teams over the weekend. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. Back in olden times, the president would call the winning team's locker room. Now, they just tweet out their congratulations, and our president thanked the entire state of Kansas for that Kansas City win. And of course, most of us know Kansas City plays in Missouri. So many things you can look back at this game and question. Kyle Shanahan, for the second time in 4 years, blows a double-digit lead inside of 7 minutes in a Super Bowl. The only two times in history that's happened, he's been the coach at both of them. Granted, he was only the offensive coordinator when Atlanta lost to New England 3 years ago, but he was still calling all the plays. Patrick Mahomes, the MVP, should have been Damian Williams, 104 yards rushing and a touchdown, 4 receptions and a touchdown. Getting back to Shanahan, he was having success running the ball, just like he did against New England when he was with Atlanta 3 years ago. They ran the ball 22 times. They averaged 6.4 yards a carry. But in the fourth quarter, when all they needed to do was get a few first downs running the ball, he kept throwing it. And Jimmy Garoppolo could not handle the pressure. He threw it 31 times, his quarterback rating 69, while Mahomes' quarterback rating was 78, and he did not have a good game. San Francisco had this game. Yards per play, a very key statistic when forecasting games that the wise guys like to use. The Niners, 6.5. The Chiefs, 5.3. Some crucial times. Why didn't the Niners call timeout before halftime? Obviously, they have no faith in Garoppolo. If that didn't clear it up for you, nothing will. George Kittle's offensive pass interference right before halftime. Another key play. Why didn't Shanahan at least challenge that one? Putting Garoppolo in a spot at the end of the game where he had to throw to win it, that wasn't going to work out, and it was obvious. We thought the Niners would win the game, and for 3.5 quarters, we looked pretty good. We had the under. We didn't think we'd have to sweat it, but we did at the end with Damian Williams, who could have ended the game if he had just fallen at the 1-yard line on his last touchdown run, strolled into the end zone. I guess the glory and the money was too much for him at the moment. But the big winner of the night, although Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, was Andy Reid, the walrus himself, finally getting a Super Bowl championship. After so many times, he had been a favored team and blown playoff games. One of these days, I'm going to sit here and count how many times he's lost playoff games as a favorite. I didn't have the time to do it today, and to be honest, I didn't have the patience because I just know it's a bunch. Andy Reid left the Eagles in 2012 to go to Kansas City. In the interim, in those 7 seasons, the Eagles have won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid has now won a Super Bowl. Sometimes a divorce helps both sides. So we had the Niners. We lost that one. We had the under. We won that one. Our other play, Patrick Mahomes rushing yards. 32.5 is where we got it at the time. And he winds up with 29 rushing yards. So we're a genius for calling that one. Well, we needed a little help. The last 3 plays the Chiefs ran. Mahomes ran backwards, running around trying to waste the clock. -5 yards, -3 yards, -7 yards. Boom shakalaka, we're under the total. You talk about one of the worst beats in the history of betting, not just Super Bowl props, but anything. I had already chalked that one up as a loss. The thing is, I'll forget about this one tomorrow because we don't forget about the miracle wins we have. We only remember the miracle losses. So the Kansas City Chiefs, now Super Bowl champions for the first time in 50 years. Hank Stram and his toupee ain't walking through that door. Led Dawson ain't walking through that door. Otis Taylor ain't walking through that door. So now you look forward to next year, and the betting has already started. The futures at DraftKings, Kansas City 6-1 to win the Super Bowl, Baltimore 8-1, San Francisco 10-1. Hey, you Bengals fans out there, they're only 100-1. Joe Burrow 100-1 to win a Super Bowl. There you go. So now as we sit here on February 3rd, we are 208 days until the start of college football season. Yeah, we've got March Madness coming up soon, but here comes the long dredge of summertime. And in this market of the sports world, that's a tough time putting together a podcast if you don't know what you're doing, but I can promise you, we know what we're doing. So football retires for another year, and we wait for another season coming up this fall. It'll be here before you know it. On Saturday, Kentucky loses to Auburn 75-66. A few goats in this game. Nate Sestina, 18 minutes, 0 points on 0 of 3 shooting. Not sure he belongs out there in some of these games. Nick Richards did not look like he could keep up with Wiley for Auburn, even though Wiley only played 18 minutes. He still outplayed Richards, but the big goat for us, a man who's always choked against Auburn, just go back to last year's Elite Eight, Ashton Haggins, 20 minutes, 5 points, 2 of 5 field goals, 3 assists, 6 turnovers, and 5 fouls. And of course, Big Blue Nation, crying that the fouls and the free throws were all in Auburn's favor. Fouls were 29-19 against Kentucky, and Auburn shot 44 free throws compared to 24 for Kentucky. The last 10 minutes decided this game. Auburn outscored Kentucky 26-14 in those last 10 minutes as Kentucky was leading heading into the final parts of this game. Kentucky still shooting very few three-pointers, down to 348th, according to our friend Ken Palm, in percentage of attempts that are three-pointers. Only 5 teams in America shoot fewer three-pointers than Kentucky. So now as we sit here on February 3rd, is this a disappointing season for Kentucky? Let's just look at the numbers. Let's not give an opinion. Let's look at the numbers. Preseason AP poll, Kentucky, number 2. Currently, number 13. When the new poll comes out on Monday, they won't be 13. They'll be lower than that. The Ken Pom preseason rating, number 2. Current rating in Ken Pom, 36. And let's take the analytics out of it. Let's go to Vegas. Their record against the point spread, 9 up, 12 down. So any way you look at it, the human eye test, the AP poll, the analytics, the number crunchers, and the wise guys out in the desert, all three of those aspects have Kentucky not living up to expectations. Now, I'm sure the Big Blue Nation will spin this. They'll rationalize this. They'll give you excuses. And that's fine, because they're fans and they're biased. But the numbers say this season has been a huge disappointment for Kentucky basketball. That's not an opinion. That's data. So don't shoot the messenger, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just reporting the facts. Sometimes, especially Big Blue Nation, doesn't like hearing the truth. On Tuesday night, Kentucky, back home in Lexington. Seems for a few weeks now, they play in the midweek here in Lexington, and then they go on the road on the weekend. Same thing happens this week. At home against Mississippi State. Mississippi State at 14-7 right now. 5-3 in the conference. But if you look at the KenPom ratings, Mississippi State is number 35. Kentucky is 36. Mississippi State, if you look at the efficiency numbers, big on offense. Number 13 in America, offensive efficiency. 98th in defense. They are a very slow-tempoed team. 301st out of 353 teams in America in average possession length, which means they hold the ball a long time when they get it. But their big strength, offensive rebounds, second in America in offensive rebound percentage. Mississippi State's best win on the year was a game at Florida last Tuesday night when they won by 7 points. A Florida team coming off a loss to number 1 Baylor at home. They've got a bunch of good losses. We'll give them that. They've lost to Villanova. In conference, they've lost at Alabama, at LSU, and in that Big 12 challenge, they lost at Oklahoma by 1 point. In true road games this season, taking away neutral site games, in true road games this season, Mississippi State has only played 4, and they've only won that one at Florida. All the others they lost. But one thing Mississippi State is doing this year, they're covering the point spread. They're the second best team in the SEC covering the spread, 13-7-1 on the year. Alabama's best in the conference. So at least they're winning your money. Reggie Perry, easily the best player on this team. 17 points a game, 10 rebounds a game. And he's the number 1 player in the entire conference in player efficiency rating, way ahead of Austin Wiley from Auburn. Nick Richards 3rd. So it'll be a very interesting matchup, Reggie Perry against Nick Richards on Tuesday night. Ken Palm says Kentucky wins this game 72-68. Obviously, the point spreads are not out for these games yet as we record this. But if you're going to give us any number of points in Mississippi State, anything over a possession, 4 or more, yeah, we'll take the Bulldogs against the Wildcats. Make sure to tune into tomorrow's podcast with our good friend Mitt Stover, and then we can go from there. But a very quiet big game for Kentucky on Tuesday night against Mississippi State, especially with a road trip to Tennessee looming on Saturday. So we're not the kind of guys that like to say we told you so about the Auburn game, but we told you so.
We're not the kind of guys to say we told you so, but we told you so.
Other college basketball. San Diego State, 23-0 now, fourth in the AP poll. The big question, can they run the table and go undefeated and pull a Wichita State from a few years ago and make the tournament as a number one seed? Our friend Ken Palm says there's a 44.2% chance that they'll end the season with an undefeated record. The current number one seeds for Joe Lenardi stay the same. San Diego State, Gonzaga, Kansas, Baylor. All deserving at this point, but the only true national championship threat we see out of those number one seeds is Kansas. Speaking of a national championship threat, Michigan State, that Kentucky win over Michigan State keeps looking worse by the day. Michigan State losing at Wisconsin over the weekend, now ranked 14th. That's going to fall for the next poll coming out this week. Spartans at 16-6, 8-3 in the Big Ten. So Kentucky's biggest win on the year keeps looking worse as the losses pile up for Michigan State. This SEC race looks to be over anyway. LSU, 17-4, 8-0 in the conference, and their next game this week at Vanderbilt. They'll be 9-0 heading into the second half of the conference season, but oh, it gets worse starting then. Of LSU's 10 remaining games, 6 of them are on the road, and after Vandy on Wednesday night, they still have to go to Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Arkansas. If they win 2 of those, they'll be lucky. So LSU will come back to the field. It's just a matter of, are they too far ahead for Kentucky and Auburn at this point? Kentucky still has to go to LSU on February 18th. More than likely, that one will be for the SEC championship in the regular season. More college basketball. North Carolina got their star player Cole Anthony back over the weekend, and they still lost to Boston College. Hello, NIT. At this point, North Carolina is just hoping to make the NIT. Now sitting at 10-11, 3-7 in the ACC. But then again, it couldn't happen to a better man than good old Roy.
I want winners.
All right, it's time for the Mac Daddy Stogies of the early week college basketball games. And if you've been listening to our podcast and following our opinions, you probably have a little more money today than you had this time last week. Because on our last podcast, we gave you Auburn over Kentucky. We gave you under on Patrick Mahomes in rushing yards at the Super Bowl. We knew it all along. We gave you under the total points for the game. Yeah, we gave you the Niners. But we're allowed to lose one. But we also gave you unranked Stanford over number 11 Oregon. We also gave you unranked Cincinnati over number 21 Houston. It took an Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson type biting incident to get that one. And we also gave you our favorite cheater, Frank Haith, pulling off the upset over number 23, Wichita State. Easy, buddy. And our props to Vince Stover, who also gave you a couple of winners. He gave you Michigan over Rutgers over the weekend. And Texas Tech over West Virginia. So the picks on this show are on fire. We are putting books out of business, if you know what I mean. And the streak continues early this week. Tuesday night, number 17 at Rising, Auburn, 19-2 on the season, 6-2 in conference, faces Arkansas, 16-5, 4-4 in conference, at Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Now, wait a minute. Kentucky went to Auburn, and Auburn beat them. Kentucky went to Arkansas, but Kentucky beat Arkansas. So, obviously, Auburn is the better team, right? No. We would not say Auburn is better than Arkansas, especially on the road. Auburn has played 5 road games all year. They're 3-2 in those road games. Keep in mind, one of those road games was at South Alabama in November, and they won that game by 1 point. They won at Mississippi State, they've lost at Alabama and at Florida, and then last week, they won at Mississippi, arguably the second worst team in the SEC. They won that game in 2 overtimes by 1 point. So Auburn has proven that they are struggling on the road. Their 2 losses have come by 19 and 22 points. And the teams that they lost to, Alabama and Florida, are not as good as Arkansas. Arkansas against the spread this year, 12-9. Auburn against the spread this year, 10-11. But what is Arkansas under crazy man Eric Musselman as coach? Last week alone, you can't get a read on them because they lost at home to South Carolina by 2 on Wednesday. On Saturday, they go to Alabama and win by 4. So it's tough to get a handle on these Arkansas team because they're so schizophrenic. But I'm looking at a team in Arkansas, 16-5 on the year, 4-4 in conference, have surpassed expectations so far. And yes, they've lost two of their last three at home, including that Kentucky game a couple of weeks ago. But this is a spot for Arkansas. Just like Saturday was a spot for Auburn to beat Kentucky, this is a spot for Arkansas to defeat Auburn. And don't sit there and tell me that Bruce Pearl and Auburn did not celebrate that win over Kentucky very much. And now they got to flip back 72 hours later and go to Arkansas. This is Arkansas's spot to win this game. Not only that, I'm getting the 14th best defensive team in the country in Arkansas. And I'm getting the home court. Give us the Hogs over Auburn, unranked Arkansas over number 17 and rising Auburn. Whoa, pig suey indeed. Sidney Moncrief ain't walking through that door. Scotty Thurman ain't walking through that door. Corliss Williamson ain't walking through that door. But Eric Musselman is there, and his craziness will carry Arkansas over Auburn on Tuesday night. On Wednesday night, number 18, Iowa, 16-6, 7-4, the tough Big Ten, travels to Purdue, 12-10 overall, 5-6 in the Big Ten. Purdue has been in a bad slump lately. But the reason why they've been in a bad slump, they've played a lot of road games, and they're not very good on the road. They've lost 5 of their last 8. 4 of those 5 losses coming on the road. But Purdue is a heavy defensive team, 16th in the country defensive efficiency, and they slow things down. Average possession length 327th in America, which means they slow these games down, which means these are defensive games. That's why their defense is so good. And Iowa, 12th in the nation, defending the 3-point shot. And what does Iowa do? Think it by looking at them, because let's just face it, they're just a big bunch of goofy-looking white guys in Iowa. They're 4th of the nation in offensive efficiency. So I've got a good offensive team facing a good defensive team. We like the defense. And Matt Painter. Since 2005, Matt Painter in home games, he is 126-84 against the spread in home games while coaching Purdue. That's Matt Painter since 2005. That's 60% and a 16.5 return on investment in home games alone. So there's a marked difference when Purdue is playing at home than when they're on the road, because Matt Painter is the number one coach in America against the point spread in the last 15 years. Nobody is better than this guy in terms of bringing you money back. He's the best, and it's going to continue Wednesday night. The analytics like this game, and so do we. Give us Purdue, poor little Purdue, sitting at 12-10, 5-6 in the Big Ten, to upset high and mighty Iowa, 16-6, 7-4 in the Big Ten. Purdue over number 18, Iowa. Your Mac Daddy Stogie for the week, so here we go. Let's recap. Unranked Arkansas over number 17, Auburn on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday night, unranked Purdue over number 18, Iowa. You could take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
You know what Dundee's hot about? You know what makes him so upset? Because his old lady, his wife, won't ever let him win at arm wrestling.
And that does it for the Monday, February 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. We thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast if you like what you heard today. Our apologies to Cash Daniel. We ran out of time for him today. We'll try to get him on the next time. Make sure to listen later this week. We'll have Vince Stover in for another rousing edition of the Bottom Line. So until then, as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cashing tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.